right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Is my wife here? Is my wife here? Sweetheart, are you in the room? Okay. First of all, let me say thank you. Thank you for making it this far. I'm sure some of you decided at the beginning of the semester that you were going to put your head down and focus and set your face like a flint and you were going to make it to the end, and you haven't really reconsidered that. And then I'm sure some of you, it's been almost daily decision to stay around. And most of us somewhere in between, including Brother Collins. But glad he's still here, amen. I'm glad you made it this far. And the hard times are all worth it when you get to the end. Be not weary in well-doing, amen. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I'm glad that you made it this far. And we are so proud of you. And there she is. Hey, sweetie. Glad you made it. I am so in love with that woman. Amen. I'm going to preach better now. Amen. I know I am. Don't you wish? And I do too. I hope all of you end up one day having a marriage as wonderful as ours. I really do. And I know the devil doesn't want that, and that's why I'm going to preach what I'm preaching this morning. I'd love to preach a happy, light sermon with a lot of Christmas spirit and joy, but I really feel like that the subject that I'm going to talk about this morning is what God would have us to hear. And we are getting right down to the end. In about an hour and a half, you'll be done with classes. In about a week, you'll be done with the entire semester, and you'll be headed to wherever you're going for Christmas. And all the devils of hell are against you. And there's, to some extent, there's protection here. You're in a place where a lot of harm is kept from you on purpose. There's a lot of rules that keep you from destroying yourselves, and that's because we love you, because we want you to make it, because God needs you, and you need to stay in the ministry. I'm glad that we have that environment, but it's not like that out there. In fact, I was in Meyer this last week and saw one of our young men in Meyer, and I said, "Welcome to the real world." This is kind of a bubble here, and you're going to leave the bubble, and you're going to go out where the real world is, and there'll be a lot of things out there that aren't in here, and you need to be prepared for that. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible this morning. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." You can interpret that, twist that, change that any way you want, but that's what the Bible says. "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication." What in the world does that mean? That means that touching a woman, fellas, doesn't necessarily end up in fornication. But fornication always begins with a touch. So if you stop yourself from touching, you avoid fornication. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment." The Apostle Paul was never married, as far as we know, and so he wasn't commanding that everyone was married, but he was saying, if you're going to get married, this is why and this is how. When I was 16 years old in upstate New York, I went to a Christian camp. It was Laterno Christian Camp. Went there as a young teenager and heard a preacher preach a sermon on purity. First time, I think, in my life I'd ever heard anybody preach on that subject. And I remember being deeply moved by the Holy Ghost and stepping out of my seat and going forward and kneeling at the altar that night and making a decision that I, Mark Bushy, was going to marry a virgin. I was going to be a virgin when I got married. I was going to stay pure. I remember making that very clear decision, and I did keep that decision, and I'm very, very glad and have been glad many times that I did. Years later, I was pastoring in the country of New Zealand, and again, I felt the need to preach on the subject of purity, and so I did. And after the service was over, one of our men came up to me. His name was Daryl Gaskin, and Daryl's in heaven now. But he came up to me and he said, in his strong Kiwi accent, "Pasta," he said, I'd never heard anybody say that when I was a young person. Nobody ever told me to stay pure before I got married. I was saved, but I never heard, my parents never told me, my pastor never told me, nobody ever told me that I should stay pure. I never had any, and he began to weep. And he said, again, in that Kiwi accent, he said, "Pasta, I neva." Never had anybody tell me that. And he said, "I believe if I had somebody tell me that, I would have." So today I'm just going to tell you, just because you may need somebody to tell you that you need to stay pure until you get married. And it's not a popular thing to say. First of all, it's likely that there may be somebody in the room that it's already too late. And if that's the case, we still love you. We're still glad that you're here, and you can still do much for God. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I'm speaking to those that have not yet gone past that line. It's also a difficult thing to talk about just because it's a sensitive subject. And I'm a little nervous because I'm afraid I don't want to use the wrong word, and I'm going to ask you to be very mature this morning and don't snicker and don't make comments. You know, just because a thought comes into your head doesn't mean it has to come out of your mouth. I wanted to get up and say that yesterday while some of you were talking, while Brother Young was preaching, but it's okay to be quiet. One of the things that shows us that Christ was mature is that he held his peace. Amen? It's okay to think things and let them stay inside. And let me ask you to do that today. But it's also a difficult subject just because it's so opposite of what the world says. And the entire message of the world is so against morality that for somebody to stand up and say to young people, you ought to stay pure until you get married, is just ludicrous to most of the world today. And so for about 2 weeks, I'm not going to go on Facebook, and I don't care what anybody says. But I want you to know what the Bible says. And I know that the devil's against you, and I know that the whole world's against you, and I know that your own flesh is against you in this matter, but I want to use the Word of God to show you some things, and I want to beg with you that you make a decision today. We're going to have an invitation in a little while, and some of you need to come forward and kneel right here at this altar and say, "God, I'm making a vow that I'm going to keep myself pure until I get married." And some of you young ladies need to come forward and say, "I'm going to earn that white dress." Some of you need to come as couples and say, "We're going to keep our relationship squeaky clean. We're going to keep it pure. We're not going to sneak around in the hallways. We're not going to kiss. We're not going to go off campus and do things. We're just going to do it right." Because honestly, from now until the time you're married, for most of you, is just a few years. And then from the time that you say, "I do," you have to live with for the rest of your life what you do in the next few years. And so I'm begging you to be wise up until you say, "I do," so that every year after that, you can look back and say, "I'm so glad that I was pure when I got married. I'm so glad that I did that right." The Bible says this in Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 13. You can turn there if you want to, but the whole passage of Leviticus chapter 21 is instructions for the priest. If I can say it this way, it's the rules for people that are going into the ministry. And one of those guidelines in verse 13, the Bible says, "And he shall take a wife in her virginity." That's the Bible word. It's used 9 times in our King James Bible that the priest or someone going into the ministry should marry someone in their virginity. Now, I would like you to take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, if you turn there with me, and I want to look at verse 4, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. The Bible says marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. What a strong, strong line that God draws between those two. On one side, you have God smiling and blessing and honoring, and on the other side, you have God angry and punishing and judging. God said that line is not about the act, it's about the timing. Wait until you're married. And when you wait until you're married, you can enjoy that part of life to the fullest without any guilt, without any suspicion, without any fear. But if you do it before you're married, you've got the judgment of God on your life. I called Brother Froki this morning because I was recently down in Guyana. And while I was there, I was visiting Nolan Charlene Shrivenoff. And what an amazing ministry that they have going on down there. I got to spend a few days with them and took a couple of men with me. And we got to go and see some of the different ministries that they have going and visit some of their families in their homes. And I preached a missions conference for Brother Shrivenoff on Friday night and Saturday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night. And Sunday, one of those nights had a Hindu taxi driver come in looking for help with a gambling problem. Got to sit down and lead him to Christ in the back of the auditorium. And then I preached on Sunday night. And Sunday night was just amazing. They got a brand new auditorium. They had only been in it for 3 weeks, and it was the first week that they had been in it with air conditioning. Thank God for timing. Amen. And I got there just at the right time, and I was preaching that night. And on that Sunday night, the room was packed. I think they counted 260-some people there, and seven different churches represented. And all seven of the pastors are men that Brother Shrivenoff has either trained, or men that he has trained, or men that he's influenced because of his ministry. And I thought, thank God for a great man like that that's just gone down there and just stayed faithful for a year. I think 29 years they've been down there and just serving faithfully year after year after year. And when I came back home and I mentioned it, some of the things that had happened there, Brother Froki said, Brother Bushy, Charlene was a member of my church in Pennsylvania. And Brother Froki said, I had the opportunity to marry them. And as he was telling me about the wedding, he got a little bit emotional. And he said, right before we went out to go and stand on the platform in front of the altar and begin the service, Noel came to me and he said, Brother Froki, I just want you to know that today, when I kiss Charlene, that this will be the very first time that we have ever touched. I thought, what a tremendous testimony. And maybe that's why God's blessing the way that he is. Because God says there's a very clear line here of right and wrong, and I want you to stay on the right side so that I can bless you the way that I want to. And then you have an enemy that wants to ruin your life, who's trying to get you to do everything wrong. Would you turn with me to John chapter 10 and verse 10? John chapter 10 and verse 10. The Bible says here in John 10 verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, this is Jesus speaking, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Again, what a strong line, what an incredible difference between the two sides. The devil saying, I want to destroy you. And the devil's an expert at putting out bait that looks very tempting, but has a trap that's very destructive. Whereas God often offers things that seem difficult up front, but the reward comes for a long, long time afterward. God says, don't listen to the thief. Do it my way. By the way, we know the pressure you're under. We understand that. We're not blindfolded. We know that you've got friends at home that don't live with your standards and don't live separated like you do, and there may be pressure when you get home. We understand that there's media constantly bombarding you and telling you that that what I'm saying right now is not normal. It's old-fashioned. It doesn't really matter anymore. And there's even perverts that'll tell you that you can't have a happy marriage unless you know your spouse before you're married. But God says that's the lie of the master liar, and that he's just trying to destroy you. Would you turn to Proverbs chapter 7 while we're looking at Bible verses today? Proverbs chapter 7, and look with me at verse 22. Proverbs chapter 7, of course, is the record in our Bible of a young man who is caught by an harlot, the Bible says. And when he sees her, everything that he sees is appealing to him, and it seems as though that he's going to get what he wants by following her, by sinning with her. The Bible says in Proverbs 7, verse 22, he goeth after her straightway as an ox going to the slaughter. And that's a pretty vivid word picture right there. I've watched animals slaughtered. Not a pretty sight. Usually right before the end, right before it's too late, they realize what's happening and they get panicky and then boom, it's all over. The Bible says, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver. Can I just say that if you've got an arrow through your liver, the only thing we can do is make you comfortable till you die? It's too late now. It's all over now. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare. Wow, this is going to be fun. Wow, I'm going to feel like a man. Wow, this is going to be awesome. I'll be able to brag about it later. And you don't realize that you're walking into a trap that is going to destroy you. The Bible's using some very graphic word pictures here to try to scare the living daylights out of you so you don't go down this road. Even while the devil's pushing you that way, and even while the world around you is trying to tell you that it's normal and okay, even while your own flesh is saying, this is a good thing that I want, the Bible's saying, no, 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 it's not. It's not. That's not where you want to go. It's not what you want to do. The Bible says in verse 23, as I finish up, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. You realize that when you were born, God gave you a gift called purity. That you ought to keep that. That when you get married one day and you commit to live your life with the rest of your life with this individual, if you're a girl, you're going to marry a guy. If you're a guy, you're going to marry a girl. That's the way God planned it, the way it ought to be. And you say, they're going to be my own for the rest of my life. They're mine and I'm theirs, and that's the way it's going to be for the rest of my life. That's still pure. That's God's plan. That purity is God's plan. God says when you mess that up, it never goes away. That one night of sin resides there in your history for the rest of your life. That memory keeps coming back. Somebody said, well, I'm just going to do it one time. Nobody will know. I won't get caught. That'll be it. No, it won't. That won't be it. It'll be there forever. That memory of that will sit there and bother you for the rest of your life. That's what the Bible says. He knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Can you hear the love and the tenderness here of a parent saying to his children, please, please, please pay attention here. I'm trying to give you something that's good, that's going to help you, and if you do what I say, you'll be glad for the rest of your life. Would you listen to me, children? Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. I've sat in my office many times with men that are much larger than I, much more fit than I, manly men that come in with bulging muscles and deep voices and tattoos, and they sit there and they cry in my office because of the problems they're having with a woman that's not their wife. Or the problems that they're having with their wife because of a woman that's not their wife. God says, guys, you don't want to do that. Just keep yourself from that. There's a better way. There's a better life. There's a happy marriage. My wife and I are looking so much forward to Christmas time this year, and I'm going to just brag a little bit. All 7 kids are coming home. The 3 that are married are bringing all 3 of their spouses with them. All 3 of the married couples have a new baby, and all 3 grandkids are coming home. I'm going to rent an Airbnb down the road, and when the babies all start crying at once in the middle of the night, I'm going down to the Airbnb and not tell anybody where it is. But we're going to have all 15 of us together, and it's going to be a wonderful Christmas time, and we're going to have all of my kids are saved. They're all in the ministry. All their spouses are saved and in the ministry. And we're just going to have a delightful time together. And I want that for you. You say, well, I didn't grow up that way, Pastor. Well, your kids can. Your children can grow up in that kind of a home where you start things right. And it begins by you making wise decisions before you're married to say to yourself, I'm going to keep myself only unto her so long as we both shall live. I'm going to keep myself only unto him so long as we both shall live. The Bible says in verse 27 that a man that goes to the harlot, his house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. God has given you a treasure. It's your responsibility to protect it, to guard it, to keep it, so that one day you can give it to that one person that God has chosen for you to live with forever. You could stand at the wedding altar and say, you're my first, and you're my only. That's what I want you to have. There's a joy that comes with that. There's a joy of no comparison. I can say my wife is the best person I know, the most loving woman I know, the most beautiful person I know, because she's the only one I've ever known. There's nobody to compare with there. She doesn't have to wonder in the middle of the night if I'm laying there thinking about somebody else, because there isn't anybody else. See, when I got married, I decided that I was going to have one woman, and to this day, I've had one woman, and I'm going to die that way with one woman. And there's a lot of trust and a lot of security and a lot of peace that comes into a marriage knowing that. That's a gift that you give your spouse. There's also the trust that comes from that. By the way, can I just say this? If you got, girls, if you're dating a guy that wants to sneak off and kiss, break the rules, and do things off campus you're not supposed to do, he's proving to you that he's a cheater. You really want to marry a cheater? If he wants to sleep with you before he says, I do, does that mean he's suddenly going to be faithful as soon as he says, I do? You really want to marry that person? Guys, if you're dating a girl and she's trying to pull you away from the rules and trying to get you to do wrong, boy, every cell in your body is screaming, I want to do this, but is that really the person you want to spend the rest of your life with? Because in a few years, when you start losing those broad shoulders and those tight abs and those muscular biceps and things start to change a little bit, and she finds somebody better looking than you, and there's always going to be somebody better looking than you. Are you going to be able to trust her? You see, what the relationship that you're building right now, those of you that are dating, is a relationship that's built on trust. And you've got to be able to trust each other now, or how will you trust each other later? Be careful in your dating life. You're building a reputation that you're going to have to live with each other, and I don't want to ever have to look at my wife and see doubt in her eyes because of something that happened in the past, and up till now it's not been there, and God willing, it never will. The Bible says about the virtuous woman, listen now, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. And my wife and I, just because of the life that we have and because of the responsibilities that I have, there are often lengths of time where we're apart, days and sometimes more than a week where we're apart, and I never wonder if she's with somebody else. And she never wonders if I'm with somebody else because we trust each other. That's a wonderful, wonderful way to live, is trusting each other. Let me encourage you, girls, exchange your purity ring for an engagement ring. Exchange your engagement ring for a wedding ring. Exchange your wedding ring for nothing. By the way, I never have to worry about somewhere, somehow meeting that other woman, because there isn't one. As I'm flying and traveling through airports, I'm never wondering if I'll bump into her because she's not there. I've been in somewhere around 940 independent Baptist churches in my life. I've never walked into church, and as I walk in the back door, wonder if by some chance she's going to be sitting in the congregation while I preach, because she doesn't exist. Boy, there's a lot of peace in that. It's a wonderful way to live. Now, there's many times I walk in, I wish that my wife would be sitting there. We'd go in the back and make out before I preach, amen? But see that right there? We can do it, amen? Yeah. You know what they say, there might be snow on the roof, but there's still fire in the fireplace, amen? And that's because there's never been anybody else. And it ought to be that way. It ought to be that way. One of the biggest and best decisions that I ever made in my life was to say, I'm going to stay pure till I get married, and I'm going to stay faithful after I get married. Just a few days, Pastor Wilkerson will be standing here. He'll sing, he'll dismiss, and you'll head out those doors and go get in a car, head for an airport, get on a bus, start driving home. You'll head to a friend's house, and the temptations will start. I want to beg you. I don't have a fancy message. I'm just from the bottom of my heart begging you, do right. Do right. Stay pure. Keep your purity. Encourage others to do right. If you're dating, sit down together and talk about where you're going to draw your lines and keep your lines. Have some pretty strong conversations. Guys, be a man. Take your girlfriend to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Teach her what it means. It means, honey, I love you, and I'm not going to touch you till we're married. I'm not going to kiss you. Every fiber of my being wants to every time I look at you, but I'm not going to because after we're married, I want to kiss you and know that we've stayed pure. I want to do right. Girls, would you make that decision today? Would you say, I'm going to tell God I'm going to stay pure till I'm married? I'm worried some girl's going to step out and her boyfriend's going to be disappointed. I'm worried about that. I'm worried about a young man stepping out of his seat and coming to the altar to make a decision to stay pure and his girlfriend's not going to want him to do it. I'm worried about that. I'm worried about couples that already have made plans for Christmas and you already know you're going to cross the lines. You don't want to come to the altar. I'm worried about that. But I'm encouraging you to do what's right today. Would you trust God? This is living by faith. When we read the Word of God, we find out that God says that living on this side of the line is so good and living on this side of the line brings so much judgment and saying, God, I don't understand all that. And I don't even want it sometimes, but I know you're right. God, you're smarter than I am, so I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to read that passage in Proverbs about that man that went like an ox to the slaughter and as a bird that hasteth to the snare. And I don't understand all that, God, but I know that you're smarter than I am. I'm just going to say that you're right and I'm going to do it. I'm just going to stay pure. I believe this. I believe that God is seeking for vessels of holiness. You say, Brother Bushy, what if it's too late? Then you start today. You start today. You say, I can't change what happened in the past, but I can decide that on December 6th, 2023, I can make a decision at the altar at Hiles Anderson College that I'll never go back on for the rest of my life. And from this point on, I can do right, and I will. Father, I pray that you please bless the invitation in a few minutes. God, you know that I love these young people. God, I want the best for them. I want them to have happy homes and marriages. I want them to love their spouse without doubt and without fear. I want you to be able to fill them with your Holy Spirit and use them in a special way. I want them to go through this Christmas vacation and come back in January with their head held high, knowing that they did right. They stayed pure. Father, help our young ladies to protect their virginity and keep themselves pure. I pray that you would please help our young men to be men, to resist their fleshly impulses and to say, I'm going to do what's right because God told me to, and I can trust him. Father, I pray that we would have a generation that would go out of here and into the ministry able to do so much more because they've made these right decisions in the most important areas of their life. God, I'd love to know 20 years from now, they have some young person come up to me and say, Brother Bushy, Thank you for preaching that sermon on December 6, 2023. Because I've kept myself pure. I'm going to ask the piano to play, if you would.